R500 armor. They got a great new couple products coming out. Actually, make sure you check them out. They got some really cool new videos. They're testing out their level 3 plus, which we tested privately. Matt shot it with some pretty impressive rounds, and it stopped them all dead cold.
And I didn't shoot anybody. It was good.
It was. Yeah. It was. So check out their new level 3 plus steel armor. It's really amazing. Pretty much stopped everything we threw at it. Including some pretty seriously high velocity AP rounds. So good stuff. Veterans Appreciation Day. Matt, since you are here on the show, why don't you tell us more about Veterans Appreciation Day happening this Saturday, April 11th at Cowtown Range in Peoria, Arizona.
So I work for an organization called Concerned Veterans for America, and we're just trying to increase the awareness and bring some volunteers on board with us. And we're trying to really just get out to like our generation of veterans, but anybody's welcome at this point. We're gonna be doing a competition, a little shooting competitions and some challenges. There's gonna be some giveaways, food, prizes. If you don't, what's that? You don't have a gun to use? Guess what? We have that covered.
Boom!
Some pretty good giveaways too.
Oh yeah, what's that? You don't have ammo? Guess what?
Boom!
Got it covered. So there's really no excuse.
Wait, Matt. Let me see if I have this straight. You're telling me you're going to provide guns and ammo, and all I have to do is be a veteran, and I can shoot at Cowtown Range?
Oh. That's right, Brian. So, and we're doing that event to raise awareness for our April 13th event, which is that Monday, which is, oh, guess what? More free food.
Oh, my gosh. Tell me more.
So, the April 13th is like the anniversary of the VA scandal breaking last year, and you don't even have to be a veteran or from Phoenix to know about the Phoenix VA scandal. I was on one of those secret waiting lists that everybody's talking about.
Yeah.
So I was affected by it. Like everybody's affected by it to some extent, and so we're having this event that evening at Memorial Hall in Indian Steel Park, which is right next to the VA, and we're going to be talking about the past, the present, the future. The past with the VA, the present where it's at right now, and the future with what we want to do with the Veterans Independence Act, which is a healthcare reform that we're trying to make happen.
You know, we've talked on past shows about the firearms community and how, as firearms owners, we all have to come together. We don't care if you're just a hunter and all you hunt with is a 3-shot bolt-action rifle. We don't care if you're a firearm collector enthusiast and all you like is, you know, World War II era guns. We don't care if you're a high-speed tactical ninja and you love to wear around 12 magazines. We don't care if you're a self-defense, you know, person who's into home defense or whatever. The problem with the gun community is gun people won't all just come together and say, you know what, all guns are important, all gun rights are important, my gun rights or your guns are not more important than whatever. The veterans community shares the exact same problem.
Yeah, there's like this elitism and, oh, like, I was a combat medic and, you know, I hate truck drivers that were like special forces support. Yeah. Inside joke. But there's this
dirty bird.
There's this,
I'm gonna hide.
Yeah, but no, there's this like elitism and cover. Like, oh, well, I don't care because your problems aren't enough or whatever. I mean, no, I definitely agree with that.
All veterans issues, whether they're related to service in general, where they're related to a combat deployment. Look, we know that not everybody is a door kicker and that not everyone is a body slayer or a face shooter or whatever. We get that.
I'm the last surviving cook.
That's right. No one ever was a cook in the military, right?
Or a mechanic.
Yeah, I've never met a cook from Vietnam.
I still have my combat spatula.
The only time no one's ever going to care is if you're an MP.
That's right.
Every other time.
Yeah. Mason, that's why you need to turn your microphone off. No, I'm just kidding. But the point is that in the veteran community, we share the same problem, and that is we all need to get involved in these problems. It doesn't matter whether it affects you or not. Like, personally, I'm not affected by the VA thing. It doesn't personally affect me. Now, it does personally affect my father, so I am personally affected in a family relation, but me personally, I'm not affected by it. And so that doesn't mean that I don't need to go and support veterans that are affected by it. Some are sitting right here in this room with me. So I still need to support the people who are affected by it.
Yeah. I mean, the big thing why it's important for our generation to be aware of this is because, like, the most vocal with the VA is who? Like, when you think of, like, who's is going to be the one out there on the street complaining about the VA, it's going to be, like, your Vietnam vet, right?
Yep.
Because they're old and broken now.
Yeah.
So if our generation is just like, oh, well, we're all relatively healthy, in shape, young guys, I don't care about, you know, oh, I'm not hurt, I'm not bothered. Like, even though you messed your knee up on all those jumps or whatever, and by the time that it's starting to plague you, we've just all kind of ignored the VA and just let them do their thing. You're not going to get any help by the time you need it.
And we
need to
keep them in scandal by then.
Right. We need to keep them in check, that, you know, until this for every generation, because as time goes on and the veterans that are older keep dying off, there's going to be this huge gap between Vietnam and like our generation. And you're going to have, I mean, they're going to get away with whatever it is they're going to get away with. And I think the care needs to be, we need to focus on the care of the veterans and making the younger generation of veterans aware of, like, hey, we need to fix this before it's your turn to deal with all this. So.
I agree.
And so because of that, that's why we're doing this event with Concerned Veterans for America this coming Saturday. It's totally free of charge. I mean, there's really no reason to not show up. If you're, like, in another state, this is worth driving in for, because we're going to have action shooting stages. It's free guns, free ammo. You're going to get to shoot some full auto. It's lunch. There's giveaways, prizes, camaraderie, meeting other veterans. It's a really, really great event. It's worth coming to. And that's part of the reason we're doing it. It's not just to say, hey, please show up to the April 13th event. Yeah, we want you to. We want to raise awareness, about Concerned Veterans for America and volunteering for these organizations. But more importantly, we just want people to remember that this is a real thing. It's not just something you hear about on the news. It's a real thing. It's really happening, and it's really negatively affecting people. And so whether you're affected like me, I'm not directly affected personally. So whether you're not affected like me or you're affected like some of the guys in this room, you need to show up in support of this kind of stuff. Because if you don't, who is going to? Nobody.
Nobody.
Right? We got to take care of each other. Just like we used to take care of each other. You know, everyone always says, what do you miss about the military the most?
My brothers.
Right? My brothers and the time I actually got to do my job, right? Everything else is bullshit. That's what Brian and I were talking about earlier today. But the point is like, that's what people miss. Well, now here's your opportunity to get more involved. So get it done. April 11th, Cowtown Range.
Yeah, if you'd like to sign up, please message me. Like, I have this huge fear that only 20 people messaged me and like 100 are going to just show up.
Yeah.
So please email me. It's mdobson@cv4a.org. I work phones 480-341-1924.
And you can also find the full info sheet on the Arms Room Facebook page, the Independence Training Facebook page. You can find them on there. It's got all the info. But yes, please register with Matt, because we have a kind of a limit on how many people we can take. And if this event is successful, we're going to do more events like it. But we got to make this one successful. So if you're hearing this, you need to show up. All right. And you don't have to have been some ground pounder, man. If you just served within the last decade and a half, you're in.
If you're a cook in the National Guard for 3 years and you don't have a gun or ammo, show up and you will still have an absolute blast.
So you need to be that person who's going to show up and participate. We want you there. We want to meet you. We want you to have a good time. We want to give you some cool free stuff. Show up. It's going to be a blast. All right. Last week, we did a shop local, buy local show, and we named all the local stores in Arizona, all the local gear manufacturers, firearms parts manufacturers, and why we want our people, of course, to shop local. Since then, we've gotten some emails.
Apparently, we did not get them all.
Apparently, we didn't get them all. And we said that on the show last week. Man, there's so freaking many. We had a ton on the list. We posted the list online. Here's some that we missed. I just want to mention them because they're worth mentioning. Firearms. We missed Black Flag Firearms. And I feel like a dolt because I know they're a good friend of Vets on Media. But we missed Black Flag Firearms, maker of AR-15s over in Lake Havasu. For firearms parts, we missed Han Precision, who makes probably some of the best sets of backup iron sights for AR-15s out there on the market today. With accessories, we missed Unique Tech, X-Works, which does mostly Cerakoting, Gunslinger Tactical, makes really, really cool holsters, some cool Kydex holsters that are actually duty capable. And he's one of the only guys I've ever seen pull that off. So really great guy. We're actually going to have him on the show in June, I think it is. 1776 Ammunition manufacturer. In the gear realm, we missed Whiskey 2-4, which again I feel like a dolt about because we actually get stuff from Ryan over at Whiskey 2-4. But Whiskey 2-4 makes some really cool gear, makes a lot of stuff out of Hypalon. Actually, for our big med kits, he makes all our ABS plastic dividers for our med kits, so really great guy. We had mentioned Trooper Gear, but the owner of Trooper Gear, who's a friend of mine, Russell Fagan, who's been on our show before, he actually emailed me and said, hey, dude, thanks for the shout-out, but he actually closed Trooper Gear early this year because he sold out all the stuff that he was selling to other companies, and so now he's focusing on the other part of his business, which is mostly competition shooting and training for competition. So they're not in anymore, and most of the stuff that he used to sell is now sold by Whiskey 2-4 or some out-of-state companies. We also briefly mentioned, but I just want to add it officially to the list, Ouch Pouches, which is actually owned by Brian's wife. She makes some really great, what we refer to as boo-boo kits. You know, we make trauma kits, and everyone's all trauma.
It's true, they're good.
But they're really good. They're an actual first aid kit.
From the mouth of the medic. Nice.
From the mouth of a medic. All right.
She posted a really good article on the page. What I like is she's not just like, go buy my stuff. But she posted this thing about how to identify internal bleeding.
Yeah,
which,
yeah.
Like, people know how to do that. Mm-hmm. That's great. So,
and what's
follow,
cool,
her, follow her on Facebook as well.
And what's cool about her is that not only, of course, she one of our instructors and co-host wives, but she herself is also a veteran.
She is also a veteran, yeah.
So really, really cool to support her. Pouches are great. I carry one in my truck. I carry one in my go bag. My wife carries one.
I carry one.
You had a pretty good story about when one could have come in handy,
yeah,
but you had a bunch of other stuff.
So kind of funny story, not to get too off topic, but I was hiking with a bunch of family members, my mom, my dad, my aunt, all my freaking fire team kids, and my wife, and we're all hiking along, and one of my daughters gets a little like bug bite, and it's itching her, you know, and she's like, oh, dad, it's really itching, and she's scratching. I'm like, just quit scratching, you'll be fine. But she can't, she's a little kid, she keeps scratching it. And so finally we stop. My wife's like, what do you got in your day pack? I pull off my day pack, this is what I've got.
IFAC
medical supply stuff. If she was bleeding out or had punctured her chest, if she was needed a crike, I'm the guy. But when it came to like a bug bite, I had nothing. My mom, of course, who's you know, part of the reason that I am, why I am the way I am and prepared and everything, she pulls out this, oh, well, you know, you always taught me to be prepared. And she pulls out this cool little packet. It's got like, it's got basically a boo-boo kit. And she pulls out the little stingies wipe and she wipes my daughter's hand. My daughter, oh, that feels so much better. And I'm like, I just failed, man. I totally failed. And it was shortly after that I kind of started complaining to my instructors about, man, we really screwed up on making some of our first aid kits. We don't have like a boo-boo kit. Boom, Brian's wife put it together and it is perfect. It is a perfect kit.
And she makes the pouches at home in the sewing machine, so
and they're very, very they're cool nice. Kits. And last gear company that we missed, and I know a lot of people raised their fists and shook them at this one, but HSP, Haley Strategic. So a big name in the training and gear world, and we totally overlooked
them.
Who's Travis Haley? So we kind of screwed that up. We apologize. But those are the companies that we missed. Now, we also got a couple emails about like, well, hey, you guys put like your top four preferred in each category, and I don't think that's right because, you know, I do business with some of the other companies. Freaking fan-freaking-tastic. I'm so glad you do business with those other people. We highlighted the people we do business with.
That was a direct quote from the show. These are the people that Independence Training and our instructors do business with.
It's not that we don't do business with the other people.
It's not that we don't like the other people.
We do business with a ton of those other companies. POF was on that list. Mm-hmm. They weren't in our highlighted thing, but look, my favorite trigger in the world for the AR-15 is a POF trigger.
Pretty sure you have one on every one of your rifles, don't you?
All of them but one.
Yeah.
I have POF triggers. I love POF. They're a local company. They do great over at Cowtown Range, of course. They're one of the biggest, you know, sponsors, and they do a great job over there. But they're not a company we do business with all the time. Those four preferreds are just who we would prefer. Given the opportunity, all right, to go to Company A or Company B, we chose Company A. Doesn't mean we don't want to do business with Company B. Doesn't mean we want to cry about it or, oh, we can't do business
with Company B. Let's re-release the list and just highlight the whole thing.
Yeah, there you go. There, everybody's preferred, all right? Everybody feel better now and we get a freaking trophy? Good, let's move
Participation
on.
Participation awards for everyone.
So I want to...
Special snowflake.
I've got a whole wall of those.
Participation awards. So look, we didn't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. That's not what we were out to do. And I know we did hurt a couple feelings and, you know, whatever. But
we're sort of sorry.
We're kind of sorry about it. But look, It's again, preferred just means given the opportunity, those are the people we go to first. If they don't have what we're looking for, then we go to one of the other or other Arizona companies.
Here's the next lesson in this life. Most of the people in this industry are like us, and if we hurt your feelings, you know, we apologize for hurting your feelings, but it's okay. Get over it.
You're going to be all right.
Buy a boot, buy an ouch pouch.
Buy an ouch pouch. Get a hurt feelings.
There is a lollipop inside. So
yeah, there's a lollipop
there
inside.
And I think there's like a hurt feelings report.
That's yeah, that's right. Submit that. All right. So I want to talk real quick about Shaz. Matt Shaz does podcast. Shaz has been on our show before talking about emergency preparedness. He's got a new podcast. It's doing really great. And I've been on, I think I'm in episode one and episode four or five maybe. One we talk about.
Makes it sound like a Star Wars trilogy.
Dun, 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 episode five.
Featuring Glenn Stilson.
But anyways, they're pretty cool episodes. Check them out.
Garrett, I am your father.
I am your father. So it's a cool podcast. Check it out. CRO 59. That's CRO, as in Combat Rescue Officer. CRO59.podbean.com. Matt's a good friend. He's got a great podcast. He covers some really awesome topics. Our most recent one was on that he and I did together was prepping and preppers and survivalists and real world versions of that, because there's a lot of ridiculousness that surrounds that community. So it's pretty cool. It was a good broadcast. But anyway, check out his website again, crocrow59.podbean.com. All right, let's get on to the main topic.
Let's do it.
Okay. Our main topic today, we got a round table with four of us in here, and we're going to be talking about four of the things that I think we did this a couple months ago, and it was pretty successful.
It's a lot of fun, too.
I think it was Brian, Matt, John.
John was here, yep.
And me. And so now we've added Derek into the mix, and we're going to be talking about four things that get debated ad nauseum. Matt, that means a lot. what? I just didn't want you to feel stupid, dude.
For the record, I didn't know what that meant either.
Okay.
See, says, I mean, you're an MP, though.
So. Oh, man, here we go.
That's it. I'm writing you a hurt feelings ticket.
So we're going to talk about the four topics that get debated ad nauseum on online forums, and a lot of keyboard warriors come out on this stuff. Every keyboard warrior.
Come
I
at
think,
me, bro.
Every keyboard warrior.
Advance towards me, brethren.
Has an opinion on these topics, and that is going to be number one, favorite knife. Number two, favorite optic, and that leave that up to your opinion, whatever. Number three, EDC gear, your everyday piece of gear you would never leave home without. And number four, your favorite home defense gun, which could turn into a fist fight online because people are going to go, well, no, it's this gun or that gun. Look, again, this is going to be our opinion. You can debate with us if you want to. We may or may not answer back. Also, to fuel this fun, I've brought in a basket of Easter candy because I have a ridiculous amount of Easter candy at my house right now.
So we got sugar and Red Bull, and we're good.
Feel myself getting fatter. Hey, Mason.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Do you rate that? You don't rate that peanut butter cup. I rate, you don't.
It's an egg.
Okay. All right, so we're going to talk. We're basically going to go like, let's see how much time we've got left. We're going to go like 2 minutes for each person, right?
We're good.
We'll see where that takes us. Can we go 3 minutes, Mason?
Yeah.
That's
we do what we want.
We do
I thought
what
we
discussed
this
for the record.
Week.
I don't actually do math, so I just immediately said yes.
Okay, cool. So we're gonna go like 2 to 3 minutes. Mason's gonna keep track. If you go over 3 minutes, he's gonna
just yell incoherently into the microphone.
Okay,
just cuts your mic.
The longer you go, the more he's gonna strip, and I don't want to see that.
No.
So
say I won't do it.
So
say I won't do it.
Yeah, that's right. No balls, Mason. All right. So
all right, done.
So here it comes.
Don't have hair one on rectum two.
All right. So here we go. Favorite knife. We're gonna start. I'll start, then we'll go to Matt, Derek, and Brian. Okay. So favorite knife. All right, hands down, my favorite knife in the whole world is the Mora knife. All right, I don't carry knives for stabbing people. I carry knives for doing work. Right, my whole life, I'm not a knife stabber person. Yeah, I've got some defensive knives, but you know, that's I don't really carry them all the time. So, based on what I do on a day-to-day basis, stabbing people's not a big deal. But Mora makes really inexpensive, really high quality, really great knives. They're Swiss steel, very, very cool. The people that work there, I've met some of them at SHOT Show, very cool people. They really use their knives. They're great outdoors. I have cut down small saplings. I have built shelters. I have skinned deer. I've chopped the heads off of snakes. I've done all kinds of cool stuff with my Mora knives. They're incredibly good steel, folded surgical steel. They're stainless, so they're not going to get all nasty and gross. They stay really, really sharp over time. My favorite model is the Triflex. Hands down, it's a part of the Bushcraft series. The Triflex knife is the best. But it's their most expensive knife. I think it's like $40.
Yeah.
That's their most expensive. And their Craftsman line of knives is like $20 or something like that. They have a really cool fire steel knife that has a flint steel.
And it actually locks into place. It works pretty good.
Yeah, it locks into the handle. You can pull it out. You can use it as a striker. So now you got a knife. You got your fire starter. Very, very cool knives. Mora knife, hands down, my favorite knife. I have one in every go bag. I keep one in my truck. I keep one in my hunting bag. They're so inexpensive. I can have 10 of them and literally have paid the same price that somebody else paid for like one big Rambo type knife. So love it. All right, Matt, you're up.
I have a couple different knives. I'm not really set on like which one's my favorite. I'm not like a big knife guy. So for like all general purposes, I have a Gerber LMF2 infantry knife. And it's kind of big and clunky, but it works. I keep that in my car, my driver's side or my passenger side little panel thing for whatever. It's come in handy for a few things. I have this little folding knife from Cricut. I don't know who makes it. Or I don't know what model it is. I think it's like the M16. It looks like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I like that. It's solid. It's sturdy. I carry it places. And then I've been meaning to get. I was playing with Jason's Kandaroo. His little he keeps it on his belt.
Okay.
Yeah. Like an ice pick.
Yeah, his little stitching knife.
Yeah.
So those are like my three that I like.
All right. I also really like the Gerber LMF2. It's big and it's heavy.
Yeah.
But you can break glass.
It's got the window. Plexiglass punch on with the back. It's got three holes where if you need to, you can make a spear out of it or whatever.
But it's so solid. You can cut electrical lines with it, and the blade is isolated from the handle. So that's pretty cool. Yeah. So you can cut live electrical lines. In fact, there's a pretty famous story of a sniper in Iraq using a Gerber LMF2 when his position was compromised to cut some power lines with some live power lines so that he and his buddy could escape in the dark because they were compromising and receiving fire. So it's actually kind of a cool story. I mean, it's legit
there
knife.
You go.
It's a legit. It's also the new ASEC knife, the Aircrew Survival and Invasion knife. So opposed to the old Ontario knife works.
And it comes in three different colors so you can match.
Oh, God, that's so important.
You have to color coordinate. Yeah,
that is so
I was waiting for Matt to show up, and there he is.
Everybody knows you can't wear foliage green after Labor Day. I mean, that's just, come on. Switch to desert tan or just go home.
All right,
if you
Derek,
look good, you feel good.
It's a true story.
All right, Derek, what do you got?
I'll be the fanboy first. Benchmade automatic knife for me. And biggest thing considered for me is I want something I can open one-handed.
Right.
So my biggest fear as law enforcement officer, and train on this a lot, is somebody getting a fight over your duty weapon. And worst case scenario for me, if somebody's got a hand on your gun and you're basically applying pressure so they can't get it out, I'm going to my knife one-handed and immediately going for shanking somebody in the neck.
All right, nothing wrong with a shank.
Yeah.
Underrated.
Underrated, yeah. And
better than a throat punch.
I don't know. Throat punch is
a throat punch.
Good.
It's a throat punch with teeth, man.
Yeah.
Throat punch with a blade. Done.
Back on track. Biggest thing that is, I've broken a few knives. Clips, whatever reason, in and out of cars all day. Snags on seatbelts. They're awesome. Call Benchmade. You don't even have to send it back. You just tell them, hey, I broke a couple clips, and they sent me like four last time. So I have like a lifetime supply of clips, pocket clips. So that's nice. Good stuff. They seem to stay sharp a long time. You know, I'm not really a big knife guru. It works. Good for me.
You know, you touched on a pretty important point though, and that's maintenance. You know, people always think about like maintenance of their cars, maintenance of their guns. Nobody maintains their knife.
Yeah, and I'm that person. I don't if you look at it right now, it's probably got food from the steak that I ate with it versus anything else that I use it for everything. I don't
but see, that's important though. A well-made knife doesn't need to be maintained as much. You know, people buy like junky little $10-$15 knives and like, hey, this is my go-to knife. And it's like, man, when it gets all jammed up with pocket lint and dirt and dust and
truck stop.
Rust and, well, yeah, exactly. You got it at Love's Truck Stop. Probably not going to be your go-to knife. I've seen a lot of cheap knives come apart under stress.
Seen them break sideways,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right, Brian.
All right. My go-to knife is also a Columbia River. It's my first one was the M16, and that one went to Afghanistan and Iraq with me. made it through 4 years of the military, and at one point in time, I was using it in construction. It went through a washing machine spin cycle, and the set screws came out, spinning around in there, and the screws went down the drain. I had all the big pieces, and I was like, you know what? For what I paid for that knife, I'll buy another one. So I have my current model is not the M16; it's kind of the rounded blade.
Is the M14 or something like that?
Something
or
like
M21
that.
M21 or something.
M21, I think,
yeah,
is what it is.
Pretty cool knives, man.
This knife, I've literally owned it for 10 years. I'm not saying there are not better knives out there, but I'm a bang for the buck kind of guy. And for the $80 I paid for this knife, I've had it for 10 years. I've used it to cut drywall. I've used it to pry baseboard. I've used it to break windows. I've used it as a mechanic to cut wheel weights off of the 21.
It is the 21, okay. M21.
I've used it to cut sticky wheel weights off the inside of rims. I've used it to stab into gravel and pull weeds, helping people out with landscaping. Yesterday, I cut the heads off a couple of rabbits with it.
Happy Easter.
My wife was cleaning out the goat pen, and a rabbit had made a nest in the leftover hay, and she was pitchforking, and she gut shot two in one stick. And so
with only three times on that pitchfork. That's a 2 out of 3.
It's a great
ratio,
story,
man.
So she's over there flailing her arms around. I was driving a skid steer, and she's flailing her arms around, and I come over, what's the matter? She's like, bring something sharp. I don't know what to do. And so there's these two baby rabbits flopping around. I was like, oh, I got this. Flop, flop. And I haven't sharpened it in a couple of weeks, so I don't maintain it very well. It's still got blood on it. I should probably clean that off for sanitary reasons. But other than that, as a go-to knife, this thing has been unstoppable.
So we've got the Mora line of knives, specifically the Triflex. We got the Columbia River M16 and also the Gerber LMF2.
I like knives.
Time's up. Time's up.
No, we got plenty of time, actually, because I timed it. And you all took less than 3 minutes, so plenty
Garrett,
of time for me to put my
Garrett, what do you got?
Let me talk about my K-bar real quick. Yeah.
So we've got the Benchmade Auto. We got the Columbia River knife M21.
The last thing I love about these Columbia Rivers,
oh,
I apologize.
God, no.
They're not autos, but they've got this tab on the back, and very quickly they break in, and they open in one click.
Oh, yeah,
click.
That was
very,
fast.
Yeah. Very easily.
Want to race?
Yeah, go.
All right, ready? Okay, ready? Oh! Here we go. Ready? I'm going to call. No. Close it. Okay, ready? One.
I have that same problem.
I forgot. Cops can't count.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
Okay,
if you're not cheating, you're not trying.
On go. All right, on go. Ready? One, two.
Go.
It's about the same.
Yeah, that was pretty close.
About the same.
I will give credit to Brian because, I mean, it was out first.
Usually with him it is.
I'm pretty much walking around with it out.
Yeah, that's also true. All right, Mason. Everyone, it's Mason's turn. Go ahead, Mason.
Tell us how AMPs do it.
Oh, no. I carry a Kershaw Blur, the Tanto.
Good call.
And that's it. I'm not going to say anything else. I've had it for like 8 years, and I've never sharpened it one time, and it still cuts like a knife through butter.
Kershaws are great knives. My daily carry knife is the it's an older model that Kershaw doesn't make anymore, but it's called the Boa, and I absolutely love it. It's a great knife. So Kershaw makes great folders as well. Anything else, Mason? Is that it? That's all you got?
Here's your participation
on that. Yeah,
board.
Sure.
Butt it in for that.
Now
all
I
right.
get a participation medal to hang on
you
my wall.
Already you already ate it.
Yes, you do. Okay, here we go. Optic. Favorite optic, and this could be.
Oh, God.
Whatever the hell you want to talk about. Okay, this could be any optic from any rifle, shotgun, pistol. I don't care what it is. I will say that my favorite optic is a low power variable. Hands down, I like low power variables for hunting, for cool guy tactical use, for competition shooting. I like low power variables. And I like low power variables simply because they give you the capability to, on a true one power, it works almost, not perfectly, but almost like a normal red dot sight where I can bring it up to my line of sight and basically use it both eyes open. But then I can also turn up the power for magnification on longer shots or shorter range identification. You know, not a lot of people, like, for example, in a law enforcement community or maybe even a civilian community where I have to identify, is that a coffee mug? Is that a gun? Is that a knife? Is that a cell phone? Especially if it's in a low light circumstance with a red dot sight, you're not going to be able to see it. But with a low power variable, I crank that thing up to 4, even 6 now. There's models that are 6, 1 to 6. I like that low end to be 1. And I can crank that thing up, and now I can see. You know, now I can effectively identify what's in the hands. We did it at a carbine class recently, where I know Matt was there doing a low light class.
The fire, yeah.
It was pretty cool.
It was eye-opening.
A lot of people had these super high powered lights, and they were running red dots or even irons. And they were like inside of 20 meters before they could actually see what was inside one of our targets' hands. We have these 3D targets we use, and we put stuff in their hands. And everybody was pretty much inside of 20 meters before they could actually tell. Move all the way back to 75 meters, and with that high power higher power magnification, you could identify from that distance. So I'm a big fan of low power variable. Downside to low power variable, it's going to add that extra weight. It's heavier than a red dot or something like that. But to me, it's worth it, because now I have the capability to run it close up, or I can crank it up, run it farther away, or identify. Also gives me the capability to have better reticles. So most of these, because they're magnification, they'll give me bullet drop compensation, maybe even a little bit of wind, stuff like that. So I'm a big, big fan of low power variables. My number one go-to low power variable, the Burris MTAC. I think it is the most cost-effective low power variable on the market right now. I love the Burris XTR. It's twice the price of the MTAC. It does have a better reticle. Also goes up to 6 instead of 4 like the MTAC. But I love the MTAC. I keep mine in the Burris Pepper mount. And to me, that's an almost unstoppable combo. I run my primary carbine is a hunting carbine, a defensive carbine, and a competitive carbine. I've run it all of them. It works perfectly for all those uses. So I really like the low power variables. All right, we got to take a break before we move over to Matt and his optics. This is the only break we're going to take today, right, Mason?
Yes.
Fantastic. So we're just going to take this one break. When we come back, we're going to move over to Matt, Derek, Brian, hear their favorite optic. You're listening to The Arms Room.
Everyone's going to need an attorney at some point in their life. I'm no different. Hey, everyone, it's James from Vets On. Whether it was my last will and testament before deployment or my ongoing custody battle for my children during my divorce, I needed help, so I lawyered up. If you need help, I urge you to contact Capstrom Law Firm. Capstrom Law Firm in Springfield, Missouri services clients throughout the state in criminal law, personal injury, and family law. With over 13 years practicing law, Tom Capstrom understands both law and court procedures and how stressful they can be. Let Tom Capstrom Law Firm and his dedicated staff take the stress and worry out of a difficult situation by calling him today. We feel so strongly about the work that Tom and his staff are doing that he'll be a monthly guest on the show. Tom is a veteran and a listener, for God's sake, so you know the guy is solid and will fight for you. Give Tom a call today by calling 417-864-0552 or email Tom at capstromlaw.com. And don't forget to tell him that Vets On sent you.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertising.
If you or someone you know is looking for a new job or career, you need to visit the pros. National Career Fairs at ncfairs.com. National Career Fairs hosts over 300 career fairs a year nationwide. The events are free and give you the perfect chance to meet some of the top employers in your area face-to-face. To find the nearest career fair to you, visit ncfairs.com. Again, that's ncfairs.com. What are you waiting for?
Veterans served us, now it's time we serve them. As a veteran of Afghanistan and Iraq, as well as a current military member deployed abroad, I would like to take a minute of your time to tell you about Patriot Hills of New York. Patriot Hills of New York is a nonprofit organization providing support to veterans and their families. They partner veterans in need with over 65 health and wellness organizations, community groups, as well as philanthropic foundations providing no or low-cost services. They've helped over 400 veterans through confidential referral services, assistance with veterans issues, employment placement, as well as educational opportunities. If you need assistance or just want to help veterans by donating your time or services, contact them at info@patriothills.org. Again, that's info@patriothills.org. Visit patriothillsofnewyork.com for more information about their services or how you can donate. Our veterans deserve no less. We can give it to them, and you can help.
You're listening to The Arms Room on the Vets On Media Network.
All right, you're back on The Arms Room. Today we're doing a round table with myself, Matt, Derek, Brian on some of our favorite things from the most internet debated topics in the gun and gear world. First one being favorite knife, which we've talked about. Now we've moved on to optic. And I had mine before the break, the Burris MTAC low power variable in general. Matt, go.
Aim point, I mean, comp M2, M3, M4, can't go wrong with any of them. They're tough. They're simple to use. They're easy. I mean, it's just, they're great optics, I think. When it's dialed in and you're laying prone, I had no problem hitting 500 meter targets at Cowtown. And that was just this basic 223, nothing crazy on a normal AR. I think they're great optics, and if you need to, you can put a magnifier behind them.
I hate the magnifier.
I know you hate that. I know everybody hates the magnifier. But like I said, if you need to do that, it has the capability.
You know what's really funny?
That.
I use a magnifier.
Yeah.
You would.
I would, right? Right, I would use one. But it's detachable.
And a pair of tweezers.
So, and the Comp M4 has takes double A's, too.
Yeah.
Like double A, triple A, I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, the nice thing about aimpoint, what, 10,000
yeah,
hours?
Yeah, something insane. And I was just like, I would, you know, turn it off, and then it's like, well, I just put a new battery in, like, a couple months ago, so I just leave it on now.
That is a nice thing about the real aimpoints. You leave those bad boys on, leave them on.
Yeah.
So if you're a patrol officer, you're overseas, you're worried about home defense gun, whatever, last thing you ever want to do is turn your gun on to fight with it. So it's like,
and for the super operators out there, they are night vision capable.
Some of them are, yeah. Yeah. And they have the new Pro, the patrol ready optic.
The tiny little one?
No, it's the same as like a Comp M2, but it's
slightly cheaper.
It's a little bit less expensive. They say it's not as rugged or whatever, but honestly, I've seen both of them. The Pro looks the same damn thing. It looks like the exact same carbon. I do like the micro. Yeah. I like the micro red dots. If I'm going to run a red dot, it's probably going to be a micro. Not as durable.
A lot of fakes for that one out there.
A lot of fakes out there. A lot of copies. Some good ones. Some good copies. But the micros aren't as durable as the Comp M2s, but they're smaller, lighter weight, etc. So, anything else, Matt?
No, that's it.
All right, Derek, what do you got?
EOTech XPS line for me. Biggest thing, I have a slight case of astigmatism, and I really like the aim point, but it's washed out for me. It literally is like a giant blob. With the reticle on the EOTech, I can actually pick it up, still use it. My line of work, we're not allowed to use magnified optics. We are stuck with either iron sights or just a red dot.
That is insane.
Is that like a department thing, or is that a state thing?
I have yet to see a department that allows it. Okay. I know my department, we are strictly holographic or iron sights.
I know state agencies that allow it, but
like an L cam. Because it by default is a one power, and you promise to only use it in one power, and you're totally good on your word.
maybe it's one of those things where it's like you beg for forgiveness versus ask permission. Yeah. I don't know.
I would. I mean, if I was in your line of work, dude, I would do whatever it took to try to get myself magnification.
Yeah, and we are. Well, I guess I know that we're allowed to carry the Trigicon 1.5 power ACOG. I know that we can use that.
That's better than nothing.
Yeah, I like the EOTech night vision capable. Lucky me, I have night vision, so I get to play with that. That's fun. It's rugged. I like the fact that actually it does turn off automatically. The beginning of the day, I turn it on. 10 hours later, it turns off, It is what it is. So I just turn it on once at the beginning of the day, and it's done. I use the 2-battery model, so I put batteries in it.
And it's double A's too, isn't it?
I use the 1-2-3's, and okay. I was going to touch on that. Is I use 1-2-3's. I've basically switched everything to 1-2-3's. Every flashlight I have, every optic I have, everything runs on that. So I have one battery that I buy, or thankfully that I get them from work, and I'm done. So,
now one thing that a lot of people don't know, or maybe just don't utilize in their EOTech, is I'm not the world's biggest EOTech fan, but here's what I like about them: they got a big field of view. Yeah. That reticle is typically 65 minutes of angle, so 65 MOA, meaning it 100 yards represents 65 inches. What's the average height of a man? 65 to 70 inches,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so if you are looking at a target.
You're talking about the big circle.
Exactly. Obviously. I'm talking about the big circle. The big circle.
Not the dot.
The dot's like 2 or 4 MOA or something like that.
2 MOA dot.
So you got a small dot, but you've got a big circle, 65 minutes of angle from top to bottom. So at 100 meters, if I'm looking at a target and he or she fills up, and it's an adult-sized person, and they fill up the entire reticle, he's about 100 meters away.
It's a quasi-rangefinder.
Yeah. If, you know, they're between the center dot and the bottom, or et cetera.
Yeah, I think it's 200 yards between center dot and the top of it or the bottom, however you look at it.
So it's nice because I can kind of use it as a little bit of a rangefinder. Yep. The other nice thing about it is, especially if you zero it at 50, which you ought to be doing with your battle rifles,
50 yards area.
Then the bottom of the circle is now your room distance.
Your
holdover.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's
a good one. So it's auto holdover as opposed to something like an aim point where I just have the red dot. I have to know my holdover if I'm up close and I'm trying to make a real tight shot. Whereas with the EOTech, I just put the bottom of the circle on what I want to shoot as opposed to the center dot, and boom, I'm in the money. So, I mean, those different kind of reticles, like I mentioned with low power variables, if I'm going to have one go-to rifle, I like some kind of reticle that gives me some kind of capabilities.
The other thing I like, too, about EOTech, you don't have to buy a mount.
Yep.
It's not that mounts are real expensive, but...
But they can be. A good
one,
mount is.
One more thing
it's,
to get.
It's one yeah. more thing to get, and it's one more thing to debate, you know? I mean, you
or
can...
Or fail.
Or fail. Yeah, so the mounts, I use the one with the built-in... I think it has the cantilever mount or whatever on it. I mean, I put it on, I don't ever take it off.
Yeah.
So it's on there, it stays and works.
Right on. Brian?
I'm a big fan of the Micro Dot. Try and find something with a 3 MOA or smaller. But I'm a big fan of the Red Dot because of its simplicity. It's a fast acquisition. The EOTechs are cool, and I really like the holdover. That's a big deal up close. But for me, the holographic sight, it distorts when I'm trying to, it just throws me off when I'm trying to align it and make things happen. So just all of my practice, all of my training, all of my real world shooting experience has been with some sort of either iron sight. I've had multiple different sights on there, and above all, the simplicity of it just really gets me excited about a Red Dot.
Mason, what do you got?
Patrol rifle optic.
The Aimpoint Pro?
Yeah, that's what I throw in there.
It's inexpensive, simple.
I've used the Burris Fastfire, the Mark II and III. The II I actually liked a little better.
Mm.
The III, it's nice, but I don't like that you have to turn it on and off, so yeah. It's really not... like a battle rifle.
And they're small
thing,
buttons,
you know?
Too.
Yeah, and the buttons are fire. Tiny. And it, depending on the mount, I have that iron dot mount that kind of shrouds it so it protects it.
Yeah, that's
But
important.
Then in order to even get to the on switch, I literally had to shave out the metal on the side of the iron dot to make room
so
for the
get to it.
Button. Yeah, so, I mean, cool optic, but I would certainly rather have an aim point.
So our favorite optics, low power variable, I prefer the Burris MTAC, but the XTR is a great one as well. It's just twice the money.
What do those run for?
The MTAC with the mount, and actually you can get it with the mount and one of those fast fires. So what I did was, when I bought mine for my primary, I bought the optic with the mount and the fast fire for like $550 or something like that, somewhere around that ballpark. And then I sold the fast fire for like $200. You know what I mean? So it's like, I literally ended up getting mine with a mount for less than you can just buy it alone with. So, you know, you hunt around for the right deal, you can get it. I think I bought it online somewhere. But if you buy the Burris alone, I want to say it's $450-ish. You can typically get it with the mount for, like I said, about $5. You can get the whole package for $550 to $6, depending on where you're shopping. They may be more expensive depending on where you're shopping, but it's worth every penny. The XTR is just the optic is like in the nine bills department, somewhere in there. So it's a little bit more expensive. It does have a smaller dot, which Brian mentioned earlier. I like to have like a 2 MOA dot. It is the biggest complaint I have against the MTAC is the big center dot. It's too big. You know, it starts to obscure targets at longer distances. But I do like it. I easily get hits out to 600 meters with that optic, like I'm taking out the mail with my little 16-inch carbine. It gets the job done.
And it's important, too, with the above 3 OMOA dots, like you said, it distorts targets, especially if you're not adjusting the brightness of the dot.
Yeah.
When you start getting to low light situations, suddenly you're blinded by your sight.
And most of the time, I don't even run mine illuminated.
All day. Yeah. Like, as the day goes on, you need to be adjusting it up, or you need to be adjusting it down.
Yeah.
And I typically don't even run mine illuminated anyways. If I'm in low light, I turn on the light. I use the light for that. But so we have that. We have Aimpoint, Comp M2, M3, and 4. We have the EOTech XPS series, the Aimpoint Micro, and the Aimpoint Pro, which is basically a less expensive version of M2, M3, M4. So that's good. All right. So now we're moving on to EDC gear. Oh, man. You know what? That's really tough.
So broad.
It is so broad. A piece of gear I would never go anywhere without, hands down.
Let me throw this out there.
Okay, go.
All right. My Wilderness Tactical belt.
Okay,
that's
Wilderness
literally
Tactical
one
belt.
Thing that you can take anywhere. You can take it on a plane, you can take it into a government building, you can take it anywhere you want, and it's like probably the most utilitarian thing that I carry on me. You can use it for a lot of different things.
Okay. And I agree with that because I wear mine almost everywhere I go. But like, I don't wear it when I'm in shirt and tie, which is really the only. I don't wear it when I'm in the shower. I'm just kidding. But
he's just kidding. He does wear it in the shower.
I'm kidding. I do wear it in the shower. I think the thing, and this is might be kind of funny because everyone's going to expect me to say some key piece of gear. You know the number one thing I carry with me everywhere I go since I was a little kid?
Facial hair?
Forearms of peace.
Yes, forearms of justice. Chapstick. I grew up out here in the West where the sun is baking on you all the time out in the open, and you know what? Nothing sucks worse than cracked chap lips.
I use mine on my knuckles and my finger splits, too. Works really well.
So, honestly, the piece of EDC gear, I go everywhere, even shirt and tie, even states where I'm sure it's illegal, like California or whatever.
People at home right now are going, what the hell?
That's honestly what I take.
Minds are blown. Yeah. It's like a brain grenade right there.
It is a piece of gear. Like, I would like to say pocket knife, but I don't take my pocket knife everywhere. I can't fly with it. Yeah. I would like to say my handgun, but I can't take my handgun everywhere. I like to say my belt, but I don't take it everywhere with
you
me.
You can take it anywhere.
Okay,
you
I can
want.
Take it where
you
I want.
You shouldn't take it someplace.
I enjoy my freedom and liberty, so I won't take it everywhere I go. But something that I take literally in my left pocket everywhere I go, no matter where I go, my chapstick. It goes with me everywhere I go because it's multi-use. Like Brian said, I can use it on my fingers start getting dry. Brian's using it right now.
Let's see it. Where's the chapstick?
I'm using my own.
Let's be clear.
That's the communal.
Bam! There it is.
I got the Burt's Bees.
I get a little plug for Burt's.
Yeah. I love granola.
All right. So that's my everyday piece of gear. That's it. All right, Matt. What do you got?
You bring up good points with the gun and the knife. Like, you can't take that everywhere. On the East Coast, it seems like you can't take them most places.
Just don't go to the East Coast.
Yeah, well,
problem solved.
Job doesn't send you there. I'd say a cell phone.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. I'm rethinking
that's
mine.
That's another mine.
That's what I was going to use, too. We can just go together, though.
Yeah,
we'll just hold hands and
make phone calls.
Another hand, because we're already holding our first hand.
That's true. Well, we are playing footsie.
Doug's going to hold both hands?
So, yeah, I would say cell phone. If you're somewhere where you don't have a gun, well, you can call someone that has a gun.
Or get that app on your phone that makes gun noises.
I have the paid ad-free version.
Get like a pocket Bose speaker. Pop, pop, pop.
Well, when you think about all the utilitarian purposes
you can find
phone.
Out anything you need to know. If you have service, you can... I mean, I downloaded like all of Wikipedia on this thing. It sounds really lame, but you can do that. It's just text. So yep. It's not a lot of files,
right?
So you can find out anything you need to
GPS
know.
GPS is amazing.
Right, yeah, if you download your maps offline, so download offline maps. Your GPS is based off satellites. Your GPS is not based off the signals. So
now,
like,
I want to point out though, that's for the Android system. On the iTunes system, or I'm sorry, the iPhone system, especially some of the older ones, they still require signal
not anymore.
Not the new ones.
Well, I think five's
not if you got $800 for the iPhone 5.
Well, most people
or
have
the watch.
Five or the six. Uh-huh. I don't really know a whole lot of people have fours.
It's like, I mean, that's ancient antique store stuff.
Well, that's right, but you haven't seen my cell phone, dude. So I have one of those flip out. Hello!
The jitterbug with the really big numbers.
You carry one of those big Nokias on the premise of, like, if you need to defend yourself,
you could certainly kill a man with a Nokia.
I'm not a brand new phone upgrader, so I think this is like the Droid. Oh man, what the heck do they call us? I don't even remember, but it's a few years old.
I still have a Moto E, but my case weighs like 2 pounds.
Oh, this is the Razer HD. That's what it is.
Have you ever seen the commercial where he talks about a cell phone and all the apps? He says mine's got anti-theft, and he's like, really? Yeah, try to steal my wallet. Smashes him in the face with. That's my phone.
So. If you download your maps offline, and do you know how much that could come in handy if you're out in the middle of nowhere?
Get lost.
I got my offline maps. Put your GPS on. Give it a few seconds.
I use
find location. It will show you exactly where you're at. I've done it on planes at 35,000 feet.
Yep.
And you're gonna see yourself anywhere you are. So between that,
the plane
and
didn't crash.
And offline Wikipedia, I could make a really messed up joke, but I won't. offline Wikipedia. I mean, you can deal with a lot of stuff if you have all the information on the web and all the maps and a GPS finder for those maps on your phone. You don't even need service to deal with either of those two things.
Well, you know, and think about it, too. Before the show, we were talking about like body cams and dash cams and stuff for law enforcement officers. You basically have that. You can flip on your camera at any point in time. You can record a confrontation with somebody. You could record...
I'm going to put a big asterisk in here. That is if you want to make your phone discoverable for court.
Okay. So there you go.
You like, if I record something with this phone, I have to...
Hand it over.
If I, as a officer... If I'm like, oh, hey, you record me, I'm going to record you, blah, 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 blah. Now my phone becomes
public
record. And not just that file.
Not just the file, the whole phone. Because technically, it's like a computer. When they go after a computer, they're not taking the monitor. They're taking the actual computer itself.
Right.
Well, you can't just take just the file off the phone. Right. So you discover your whole phone. But it's not an issue for us because we wear OBCs and we don't use our own personal gear.
Sure.
I'll bring up a couple things for cell phone as a first responder that I've found in the last couple of months that are super helpful. Like any piece of technology, our NBCs and our cars, they're not the most reliable thing in the world sometimes. They're hard to log on to. Sometimes they're slow. So, like, it happens more often than not. I'm sitting in briefing, and I got to go in a hurry. And whether it's hot traffic, an accident, something goes, my phone, I can put the address in where I need to go real quick.
Faster than your computer.
It takes me, by the time you boot your computer up, you log on, plus all the security stuff we have to do, I'm usually there before I even get the computer going. This, right away. The other thing that I use that's awesome is when we have people that go missing, generally old people, dementia, health-related reasons, the number one way we find people anymore is their cell phone. And we don't even have to go to the fact of like having the cell phone companies ping them. We literally just hope that they have an iPhone or something of the nature with the Find Your iPhone app. I did this 2 weeks ago. I found a guy. We just literally looked up his Find His iPhone app through his iPad, and we're like, oh, he's over here driving around, and we went and located him. So dementia guy had no idea where he was. He was literally driving in circles. So there's just some cool things that most people don't see the aspect of a cell phone, but we found it's very, very helpful.
Yeah, and if you do some little pre-planning, there's a lot of awesome apps you can put on there, like the Find My iPhone, locating it. There's one called Plan B that you can actually remotely install on Androids. So where if it gets, like Glenn swipes it on the way out of here, I can go onto my account, install it from my computer, and then I can ring it, locate it, turn GPS on, or lock it, or wipe all the files remotely after the fact.
Yep, that's also
true. I have
true.
Netflix on my phone.
Yeah, probably more important.
Way more important. Than about. Probably I thought Plan B was going to be some kind of contraceptive app on your phone.
Plan B. All right, Brian, what do you got? What's your favorite piece of EDC gear?
I was going to go with cell phone.
Dip.
So, Percocet. No. I'm going to go with a flashlight. I have a small Streamlight pocket light.
Yeah, see,
everybody's pulling them out. I can take it on a plane. I can walk through a parking lot. Mine's a Streamlight, so it's aircraft aluminum. I can smash somebody in the face with it.
Flashlight on the cell phone. That's not as useful, though. I can't smash someone in the face with that.
Well, you can.
I will smash you with my flashlight. You smash me with the phone. Okay, that thing's pretty big.
There you go.
That's a honker.
That's what she said.
It's waterproof.
But
it's. Nailed it. And so I'm never questioned about it. I'm never asked to get rid of it. Nobody's ever said that's offensive to me in any way, shape, or form. And I can take it on a plane. I can take it into California even. And so I'll go with a flashlight on this one.
Right. I like flashlight. You know, in our classes, we often tell people all the time, like, if you're going to buy the lady in your life something to defend herself with, or even the guy to defend themselves something with, instead of buying a pepper spray or tasers, both of which require training and also
and maintenance.
Weather
and
conditions.
Yeah, like, you're most people don't realize that your
pepper spray,
that stuff's only good for 6 months, especially if girls, they leave it in their purse, in their car, on their... It's
the longest one I've ever seen is 2 years. Yeah. Saber, I think, is 2 years, I want to say. But that's stored under perfect conditions, 70 degrees at room temperature, not stored in your car at 300 degrees in the summer.
Well, and here's the other thing about pepper spray. When you spray it, it's a one-time use deal. No matter how big your can is, it's a one-time spray use. It's like a spray can. You spray paint or fire extinguisher. Mm-hmm. And then it starts losing pressure, the nozzle gets gummed up, and then pepper spray, the wind conditions. We live in Arizona. Let's be honest. You're going to pepper spray yourself.
It just sucks.
It's terrible.
Sucks if you deploy pepper spray.
And you've never had a taste of it?
Especially if you've never had a taste of it.
Oh, my God.
It sucks, and you're going to get it. Everyone gets a taste. In my world, I don't carry it. Nobody on my squad carries it. Now, we have it readily available in case we need it for whatever reason. But the problem is if you're in a fight and you deploy it, everybody gets it. And now all of a sudden you have one bad guy or two bad guys that are affected, but then you have six cops or whatever that nobody can do any work, and it's no fun.
Here's a funny point, too.
One-on-one, isn't it often used when pepper spray is used in self-defense situations? Doesn't it end up being used against the victim?
Well, it's ineffective.
The biggest problem is that it ends up being, like Brian said, it ends up being ineffective, or they're trying to spray it. They're spraying it the wrong direction. It's not impact. Again, it's like the problem with pepper sprays and tasers and things like that and buying them
for cops controlling other people. They're not good for you in self-defense.
And they're not good for the average person.
Everything that we're talking about on their belt.
Well, the other problem is the average person, that's just it.
Right.
They're not going to have it ready. They don't have any training with it. A light You can pull out, you can use it, and like we were, in fact, we were talking about this weekend in one of our classes, we were talking to some ladies about good EDC stuff, and it was like, look, a light you're going to use all the time. You're going to use it all the time. And because you're going to use it all the time to look for stuff and find things and signal people and all that, you become very, very familiar with it. You're going to know how it works and where the button is and how to operate it. So because of that, it's a great tool. I definitely
couple
agree.
Interesting things. As somebody who's taught some women self-defense stuff, the pepper spray goes in the person. There's plenty of women that have been assaulted, kidnapped, bad things happen to them with a can of pepper spray somewhere in their purse.
Yes,
somewhere on
it.
Their freaking cluster of keys, whatever it is. They can't get to it. It's not effective. The other thing is, like you were saying, it expires rapidly. I've used for demonstration some old expired cans. And we were in a dojo one time, so we stepped outside. I was barefoot, and I sprayed it into a bush so just everybody could be near it, just to inhale a little bit and see how that burns in your lungs and what it does for you. But I got some of that on my foot, and we're talking third-degree chemical burns. Like, so
it's
I
not,
know
yeah,
Arizona's,
it's expired,
Arizona is got some Victim Defense Act, which is a great thing. But some other states, you can actually get in trouble for using a can of expired pepper spray because you're going to chemical burn that person's face, and now you're in trouble.
You're looking at a civil suit issue.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mason, what's your favorite piece of EDC gear?
I started with the belt. Remember?
Yeah, Mason started with the belt. All right, good job. Good job, Mason. Okay, so now we're going to go to a very debated topic, and we got about 1.5 minutes, 1 minute each here, so we're going to have to be kind of quick because we went a little long.
It's not my ticket book, by the way.
All right.
I don't even have a ticket book.
The highlight of your life is running around
how many
giving
times
tickets
do I have
to
tell
people
this? I don't even have a ticket book.
I still haven't seen your full kit. I think you've got...
And what's wrong with being a cop anyway?
Look,
that's
I think
awesome.
You've got rows of mag pouches here in the center. Ticket book with ticket book reload.
No, all the mag pouches are actually
three
just
pens.
Filled with ticket books.
Three pens. Yeah, there you go.
If only you had a real job like truck driver.
Special Forces truck driver, I'd be all set.
Dude, I'm not going to be responsible for what happens to you after the show, Matt. All right, a home defense gun.
I'll video it. I'll be responsible for the camera.
World Star.
World Star.
All right, we're just gonna say the gun and that's it.
The gun and 30 seconds about why that.
Okay, hold on, let me get my stopwatch.
Oh, here we go.
All right, again.
I'm on handgun with weapon-mounted light, full-size handgun, weapon-mounted light, biggest magazine I can get simply because I can operate a handgun single-handedly, very, very simply. I understand it's less lethal or less capability of being lethal than a rifle or a shotgun. I get that, trust me.
Train.
But I like my handgun. It's the thing I carry with me the most. It's the thing I'm most familiar with. And I can use it in close quarters easily. And I can use it one-handed easily.
10 seconds.
Everybody can use it in my house simply. Matt, go.
This is home defense?
Home defense.
AR. Or just some kind of rifle that you can maintain control of, you know, as you're shooting it. So you can make quick follow-up shots. It's you pull the trigger, bang, it goes up a little bit. You're right back on target. You have a light. It's nice. It's long. You can get it out there right on target. They're very simple to use. The instruction in terms of, you know, like my girlfriend, it's not difficult for her to figure out how to use an AR. Like, she's shot AKs and ARs and knows what she's doing. So mine's a rifle with a light.
All right. Derek?
Glock 22 with a light. And for me, it's just because it goes everywhere with me, and I'm the most familiar with it. I train with it. I can almost shoot it in my sleep. I'm a big fan of the rifle at home, but it doesn't always work. There's no perfect scenario. I'm going to go with for something that I could go everywhere, whether sometimes you want to conceal it when you're at home before. You don't want somebody walking around, you know, that you have it. A million scenarios, but Glock 22 with a light on it.
Well, you know, a lot of people, just to kind of butt in for a second, a lot of people talk about, like, oh, the pistol's for fighting your way to your rifle. Look, if you're in such a long fight inside your house that you are using your pistol to fight your way to your rifle, you are in a situation that probably exceeds your capabilities and or current equipment and team size.
Call the police.
Yeah. So, yes, I agree. Whatever gun you start with in a home defense situation is probably the gun you end with. So either start with a rifle or start with a handgun. Don't come up with some weird fantasy in your head. Brian?
You don't like doing transitions in real-world scenarios?
Hell yeah, in my undies and my chonies with all my backup magazines.
You don't sleep in your body armor? So,
well,
is that just me?
Yeah, it depends on the night. Prior to having children, it would have been a 12-gauge. Simple to use, all that good stuff. I've done enough shooting. I know it's not a point-click interface like some people believe. We have a great video about that. at the Independent Training website.
It is an aimed weapon.
You mean you don't just aim 10 seconds. The door and pull the guy's leg off?
But I get there
or just pump it and scare him away?
Yeah. So I got
to
go
Vice President who said that we were allowed to do that?
No, he said shoot it twice in the air, so it doesn't really matter how you shoot it.
Okay.
Because that's not discharging. But for me, it's going to be a handgun also because I do have children. I do have people in my house that I need to worry about. I need to open doors to get from one place to another. If I need to come around a corner, I can shoot from a retention position without exposing myself. And so, I'm not worried about when I'm shooting my hollow points over penetrating through a wall into my kid's bedroom or something like that. So, prior to having a family, it would have been a shotgun, but right now I'm going to go with the handgun and a weapon-mounted light. I completely agree with that statement.
Mason?
Glock 19 with an Enforce APL.
Getting specific on us.
That was super specific.
Yeah. What kind of rounds?
Hollow points, of course.
What kind?
How many Hornady Critical Defense anymore, apparently, because that's bad. So
yeah.
No offense, Hornady Critical Defense, but
that's what I spotted the shit.
I'm interested to try some of that new ammo that we're actually.
Wait, yeah, I'm interested in that.
HPR.
Yeah,
the Black Ops.
It's gonna be pretty cool. Gonna be pretty cool. Cool. So pretty much handguns and carbine, which I would happily keep a carbine for home defense. Based on a different living scenario than what I have right now. But based on my living scenario right now, I'm all about the handgun.
That being said, I'm pretty sure all of us probably have loaded rifles sitting around at home.
Yes, we do.
Along with pistols. Because I know I do.
Yeah.
And
like that little girl in the taco shell commercial, why not both?
Yeah.
Yeah. One in each hand.
Hell yeah. All right. So thanks, guys, for coming in and participating in the roundtable. It's been a good time. Let's talk about next week. Next week, we're going to have Daryl Morrow as a call-in guest. Daryl Morrow is a vice president from Vertex. Vertex, of course, some of the pants we enjoy wearing, a lot of the concealment shirts and different equipment and gear that they use, designed specifically for blending in.
I love the Vertex pants for that reason. I'm not operated out when I'm wearing a pair of what look like traditional cargo pants.
And so that's what's nice about Vertex stuff. You know, we like it. We use it. It's good stuff. It's durable. It's really great for not sticking out in the crowd. Makes you look like you're just wearing a pair of, you know, khaki cargo Wrangler pants from Walmart or something. Yeah. Doesn't make you look like you're a 5'11 Tactical Timmy or anything like that. So Daryl Morrow is going to be our calling guest next week. He's from Vertex. We'll be talking about blending in with the crowd. Remember to visit our show sponsors, AR500 Armor at ar500armor.com, Cowtown Studio, which is where we are right now. Remember to check out Cowtown Range at azcowtown.com. And remember, if you are a veteran, please contact Matt Dobson, mdobson@cv4a.org. That's Charlie Victor, number4alpha.org. So you can get registered for this weekend's event.
I'm not hard to find.
It's Facebook. Super awesome.
It's easy to find me.
You guys are missing out if you don't.
Bottom
show
line:
up.
Free food and free shooting.
Free ammo, free food, and some free gear. Please show up. Learn more about CVA. Have a good time. Find your fellow brothers in arms that live locally to you. If you're in another state or sisters, thank you. If you live in another state, it's seriously worth driving in for. We're gonna have a great time. Until next time. Stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room. The